We have three scripture readings this morning. The first comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then from Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Then our New Testament reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you so thankful for all that you have done. And this morning, as we celebrate moms and recognize the impact that we have, that they have in our lives, we acknowledge, Lord God, that it is ultimately you that we seek to glorify. That it is you, Lord God, that we want to look like. And so we are so thankful for the moms who demonstrate what it is like to live a life following after you. We pray this morning that you would help us really to discover more and more what it looks like to follow after you. We pray these things in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is a preview of our next series, or the series that will be following our series on Exodus. It's a series on family. And so today is on mothers. And then we will officially start the series on Father's Day, which means that we are going to finish Exodus before Father's Day. Because of that, I have a homework assignment for you. Unless you would like me to continue to read three chapters of Scripture every Sunday, my encouragement to you would be to read ahead, to go ahead and read to the end of Exodus. So maybe take on a chapter a day or something like that, reading forward. And that way we can avoid reading so much at once. Today's sermon really is a sermon for Mother's Day. But as we think about Mother's Day, a question that I have for us is, what is a mother? Do you have to have children to be a mom? Or can it include things like teachers, or nurses, or neighbors? People who may not have children of their own, but oftentimes look after the well-being of other children. Well, what about the men? Is this message today relevant for the men? Yes, it most certainly is, if for no other reason that you have a mom. But really, God's instructions, when he gives instructions, are for all people. And so as we learn and we talk about what it looks like to be a mom today, really it applies to all of us. Some might ask, well, what does it take to be a good mom? What definition should I use? Should I go by the world standards? Maybe Maybe I should take time to spend more time on Instagram to figure out what it looks like to be a good mom. Or maybe if my Pinterest account had just a few more pins, I could be a good mom. Or maybe if I parented a little bit more like so-and-so, I could be a good mom. Really, time and time again, I hear these ideas of what it looks like to be a mom, and they're really taken from a worldly perspective. And so today, what I want to look at is what it looks like to be a mom from a biblical perspective, to begin to dive into that. And it begins with this, Deuteronomy 6. It tells us that we are to take all that God has taught us and teach it to our children. That you should talk when you sit in your house and when you're out walking or driving, when you're lying down and when you're awake. That you should live your life in such a way that there is demonstrations of your faith throughout your house, throughout your life. That everything that you do is pointing your children towards what it looks like to be in relationship with God. That you teach them, not just in conversations that you have with them, but in everything that you do with them, everything that they might see you doing, the way that you interact with other people, even as you're sleeping. How are you demonstrating what it looks like to follow after God? And then in Proverbs 22, we read, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it's this idea of laying a foundation, planting in your children what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. I remember one day in high school, a friend of mine had come over to the house. They needed to do some laundry. They didn't have the capability to do it at their house. And so I was walking them through the steps of how to do their laundry. And I look over and my mom is kind of like happy crying. And I was like, well, what's going on? And she said, well, you paid attention. Said, well, yeah. And it's this idea that what we teach our children now, whether they are your own children or someone else's, has the possibility, the capability of being lifelong, long-lasting. So even children that are very little are worth teaching and training what it looks like to follow God. And there's many passages that we could explore that talk about the what. What is it that we should train them in? But I thought a good place to start would be the passage in Galatians and fruit of the Spirit. For no other reason that we could see Brian sing it for us. No. But it's a great place to start. And it really demonstrates that idea of the long-lasting impact. That we have children, very young, 3 years old, who know the fruit of the Spirit because they have sung about them. But then I think you might have noticed that there was many in the congregation who were excited to sing that song too. And it's because it's been implanted in them. It's long-lasting. The list in Galatians is not an exhaustive list. There certainly are more fruits of the Spirit. But it's significant that the list starts with love. The rest of the list seems to not necessarily have any particular order, other than that many of them are practical expressions of love. So it begins with love. 1 John 4, 7 through 8 says that God is love. It's often asked of children, what does your mom do? And a common response is, she loves me. It's what moms do. You don't have to learn to love. It's simply part of your identity. So just as God is love, moms are love. It's part of what defines you, that you love your children. Love leads to joy. Joy, you can think of it as the acronym, Jesus, others, you. So God, others, and then yourself. And moms know that very well, right? That moms sit down to dinner last. Oftentimes, it's the idea that it seems like everyone else's world is always first. But Jesus, others, you. Romans 15:13, so that God fills us with joy. That joy comes from God. If you want to see a good example of what joy looks like, I'd invite you to visit Stephanie Circle Sunday School class next Sunday. See what it looks like to experience joy as she teaches 3- and 4-year-olds. Children are designed to bring us joy. Really, the Bible tells us that children are a blessing that is designed to bring us joy, and their joy is contagious. When Elliot wakes up almost every morning, he's ready to go. It takes a little while for it to rub off on me, but it's contagious. We celebrate with our children their accomplishments, their successes. When they experience joy, we're filled with joy. Peace. Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Isaiah 32:15, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever." Maybe you've heard your mom or other moms say something similar to this, but I think just about every morning, Salisa says something like, "I just want to finish my cup of coffee." Or maybe, "I just want 5 minutes of peace and quiet." Or, "Can't you guys just get along for 5 minutes? In families with children, peace is oftentimes a rare commodity. At least if you're defining peace in terms of quiet or the lack of chaos. But what kind of peace can you demonstrate for your children? Are you allowing anxiety to rule your life? Or are you allowing God in control to rule your life? When your children see you worry, when they see you lie down at night, well, hopefully they're already in bed, but what do they see? Do they see a picture of peace within you? Patience. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Was patience even a word before moms? I wonder. Moms oftentimes define patience. I mean, I'm still alive. If you want to know what I was like as a child, look at Elliot. but our children teach us patience. And in return, we teach them what it's like to be patient. And what it means to be patient is we wait on God. That we proclaim that God is a God who answers prayers, but in His timing and in the way that He wants to. And how do we demonstrate to our children that God answers prayers, that we need to be patient for that? Here's one way. Celise and I oftentimes will tell our children, yes, but not yet. Yes, Elliot, you can have a sucker, but not until after you've eaten your meal, or not until after church. But then if we fail to fulfill our promise, if dinner has gone by or church has gone by and we fail to give them that sucker, then patience really wasn't meaningful. But if we fulfill that promise, if we say yes, but not yet, but then we fulfill that, we begin to teach our children what it looks like to be patient and to wait for God. This morning, as I was talking to some people about people in our church that demonstrate patience, Chris Brockway came up, dealing not oftentimes with just her children, but grandchildren coming to her house, middle schoolers and high schoolers, what it looks like to be patient, really in a sea of family. Kindness, Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Kindness is often difficult when you have children. And as I was speaking to people this morning, the person that was mentioned in terms of kindness was Vicki Hall. And I said, you do know that she raised twins, right? Twin boys. And then Brian began to tell me about some of those stories. And I said, well, that certainly is a kindness that you are still alive. But we show our children kindness. That we're kind to them even when they don't necessarily deserve it. And we teach them a great deal about what it means to be a follower of Christ. That as we follow Christ, that He continues to show us great kindness in the midst of our disobedience and sin. His mercy and grace remain with us. Goodness. Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When we speak of the goodness of God, His benevolence, the things that He has given to us in this world that reveal that He is good. Beautiful sunsets, rocky mountains, ice cream. Those things about the world that just let you know that, that they are good or that it's good. A piece of warm pie, a little bit of ice cream on it. So I think of goodness, I thought of Joe McCallan, how every Sunday morning that there is breakfast waiting for me. And that she thinks oftentimes about the people who come and what is their favorite thing to eat for breakfast, and she's intentional about making those things. Or her children have shared with me that oftentimes that she makes their favorite meals for them when they're coming home from college. And it's this idea of thinking about our children or other people? And how can we demonstrate God's goodness to them? Faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That God is faithful, that he remains unchanging, that his yes means yes and his no means no. That if he promises something, that it will certainly happen. That if something has been prophesied, it'll come to pass. That he remains good forever. That his mercy endures forever. That his grace endures forever. That his love for you endures forever. You can count on him. So I thought of faithfulness. I thought of Pat Hodges and the way that I know that she prays for me and for you and for her grandchildren. She talks about it, praying daily for people in her life. My mom, when I was in high school, in the midst of my disobedience, in the midst of my sin, every day would go into my room and pray over my pillow, praying that God would begin to speak into my life. Faithfulness in prayer can mean so much for your children. For your children and for the children that you love that are part of your life. Gentleness. Philippians 4:5 says, let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let it be evident to all. You know, gentleness is not about weakness. You can be an incredibly strong woman and be gentle in the way that you parent. That gentleness does not mean a lack of discipline. But it means that maybe you discipline a little bit differently. That you recognize as you deal with your children that you treat them with gentleness. When I was a kid, when we went to my grandparents' house, their house was full of antiques. And we knew that as we went through their house that we had to be very careful because all of those things were valuable, irreplaceable, and they didn't belong to us. Our children are valuable. They are irreplaceable, and they don't belong to us. They belong to God. God places them into our care for however long that might be, whether it's moments or years. And he says, take care of this. But we take care of it like it's of great value, as if it's irreplaceable, and as if it doesn't belong to us. Self-control. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And then 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit of fear, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. As I look around the room, I can't see a single mom in here who hasn't demonstrated self-control. Or maybe the wives. We're all still alive. Parenting takes a great deal of self-control. those moments where you just want to grab them and say, listen! Self-control. Where we demonstrate what it means to follow after Jesus. That it's not about us. We control ourselves in an effort to demonstrate that it's not about us. It's about glorifying God and loving other people. And it's really hard to have self-control when you're only concerned about yourself. But when you're thinking about the well-being of others or of glorifying God, self-control becomes a little bit easier. The passage in Galatians it ends by saying, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This idea of crucifying the flesh, saying goodbye to the old self, of removing sin from your lives, or in other words, by being a Christian. So the list of the fruits of the Spirit are not an exhaustive list, but as a collective whole, show us what it looks like to be Christ-like. It's the basis and the foundation of the fruits of the Spirit, is that Jesus Christ is part of your life, that He has stepped into it in such a way that your life has been changed, the change of heart, and that you begin to demonstrate that. So something that is crucial to being a mom or a follower of Christ is that you have a relationship with Him. That you make it a priority. It is pretty hard to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit if you're not experiencing them in your life right now because of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And it says, living by the Spirit in step with the Spirit. Are you allowing your relationship with Jesus to drive your life? Are you living your life according to His plans and not your own? What are your dreams for your children? That you allow the Holy Spirit to move and work. And so we train our children. We train our children to look like Christ. But what is the goal of all of that? Why put in all of the work? And the goal is this. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. As a Christian parent, we want many things for our children. We want to see them successful in many areas of life. But this is the goal. Right here, that we see our children following after Jesus. Raising children is more than just ensuring their survival. As parents, Lisa and I have discovered that we are officially much better at raising children than plants. Part of that is because plants can't remind you when they're hungry or if you haven't fed them. And children most certainly can. The children do a really good job of reminding us when we're not taking care of them in the way that they think that we should. And so if you're worried about whether or not you'll remember to follow these fruits of the Spirit, tell your children that you're planning on doing it, and they'll do a pretty good job of reminding you. They're really good at it. Children and spouses, remind us daily of the things that we say that we are going to do. Allow them to be better, to make you into a better person. Follow after Jesus. You don't have to have kids to be a mom. You don't even necessarily have to have kids that are in your life every day. There are kids at the grocery store who will see you. There are kids who might see you driving in your car. And the reality is that we live in a world where oftentimes children do not have great parents in their life right now. You never know the difference that you can make in the life of a child, even in moments sitting at a stop sign. Not even talking to them. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to interact in the life of children and to make a difference and to show them what it looks like to follow after Jesus Christ. And so my challenge for you today, each and every one of you, whether you are a mom or not, whether you are male or female, is to demonstrate what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because the goal for all of us should be to see children walking in the truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the moms that are part of our lives. We're thankful for the way that they move and work, that you have inspired them, that you have gifted them in such a way to meet the needs of their children. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that for many, situations are not ideal. That in the midst of celebrating moms, we recognize that for many moms and for many children, that there is pain right now. That there are so many that are hurting. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be better at loving them. That you would help us to demonstrate more accurately what it looks like to be loved by you and to love you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with all of the moms, whether they're actual moms or surrogate moms or whatever, but you would be with them, Lord God, that you would be giving them the strength that comes from your Holy Spirit, to be demonstrating a life of faith. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.